Thanks for having me. It's an honor and pleasure to be here again at our community event. Thanks to Udo and also to Alex for organizing the Dev Room this year. And let me get into it. So today I will be talking about HelenOS. Let me start with a short introduction of myself. It's not so important here. It just shows that I have user space components. It's a multi-platform system. We currently support these major hardware architectures. And it's designed and implemented from scratch. So basically, the idea is to test some interesting, radical new ideas like our asynchronous IPC mechanism with integrated shared memory. Also, most of our components are natively written for HelenOS, not ported from other systems. So there are no Franken components, so to speak, with ugly compatibility layers around them. We also like to say that our code base is readable and understandable to newcomers. I'm obviously too biased to really judge, but one objective measure is that 30% of the source code is comments. And maybe compared to some other microkernel-based systems that you will hear today during the Dev Room, HelenOS is an integrated distribution. So you just download an image that already contains all the required components to get a working desktop-like system. You don't have to, manually configure stuff. It will just run things and auto-discover things and stuff like that. So what has been new in HelenOS since our last status update here at this Dev Room in 2020? Well, the major improvement is the new graphical user interface, or a redesign and a re-implementation of the previous one. So we have a completely new display server that is more open-ended. It should support accelerated direct and indirect rendering, and it also provides better performance in case you render in software only. It has additional features like configurable double buffering and stuff like that. Also, there are many more graphical widgets and dialogues. And one interesting thing is that almost all of those widgets and dialogues can be also used in text mode. So you can design an user interface using the same widgets, whether the final application is going to run in a graphical mode or in a text mode. Proportional fonts is just one addition to that. Then we did some usability improvements, so to speak. So there is a font editor, there is a two-panel file manager now, there is a taskbar with a start button and a start menu, which you might know from some other rarely used operating systems. There is multi-seat support. The terminal can now scroll back and be resized. And quite recently, there is a intelligent in the sense that it actually follows dependencies, shutdown mechanism. So you can cleanly shut down the system now. We have improved our compiler toolchain to be currently completely up to date with the latest GCC and stuff. And we have improved some standards or standard compliance on the API side. And finally, but maybe last, not least, there is some additional hardware support. We have improved the performance of the block device drivers. And after 20 years, we lay a fresh eye on the kernel and did some streamlining. It's not a rewrite, it's not a redesign. The basic bits and pieces are still there, but we simply allowed some things that were not being so heavily used after so many years to just disappear, like some unused extension points. We did some performance optimizations. We have improved the abstractions on some APIs. So for example, some of the kernel internals no longer use directly the wait queue as the primary synchronization means, but use a semaphore, which is of course built by the wait queue, but it's still more abstract and therefore the code is easier to understand. And we have removed some synchronization points, which were generally unnecessary, because the actual workload was more of a CPU local. To compare this list, which is of course the stuff that we still do support, with the previous list, it's sort of not quite comparable. So what's wrong? Well, this is another view of the story, and of course I know that the number of commits is not the best metric for everything, but it shows something. That it definitely shows that since the last update there was not so much activity as there used to be. Let me give you another picture. So previously we were exploring very interesting things, trying to solve some challenges, and now we are living in this serene valley downhill where nothing much matters, nothing much happens. You know, the river is flowing quite steadily. So this is where HelenOS is now, and this is, I believe, the reason why those two lists of new features, sound different. And HelenOS is essentially complete. And now you might say, hey, come on, Martin, are you kidding? I mean, how can you claim that HelenOS is complete? If I can't use it, I still can't use it as a daily driver to replace my Linux, or maybe at least Windows. No, sorry. But, you know, there are at least two meanings of the word complete. So you might be thinking about this. Starting with something that sort of works, but it's very, very single purpose, like a doghouse, and completing it into a large city that can host almost anything, any number of use cases that could be partially self-contained or self-sufficient. Yeah, this is one meaning of the word complete. And obviously, HelenOS this does not apply to HelenOS. What I mean by HelenOS is complete is this. So moving from a family house that is in construction, where, walls need to be put and furniture needs to be placed in and electricity needs to be wired and whatever, and ending with a family house that can be considered as finished. I mean, there is nothing missing, but it's still not self-sufficient. I mean, it still needs something else. So in this sense, HelenOS is complete, and this is the thing. HelenOS is a pure open source project. It's completely community driven, meaning that it's driven by individual interests of contributors, maybe by their academic research or maybe by their education. I mean, there have been something like 30 master theses written around or on top of HelenOS. We did have some corporate sponsorship, like Google Summer of Code or the CZNIC employing one of our contributors, but there was never a business goal, there was never a monetization goal. Meaning, since there are no major building blocks missing, I mean, there is a file system, there is sound support, there is networking. The only bits and pieces that are currently missing, and that would lead to the completeness in the other sense, in the completeness of, running a GNU Linux, is all the device drivers, file systems, standard APIs, usability features. And it turns out, at least in our setting, this is no longer rewarding. I mean, at least no longer so rewarding as it used to be before, when you can say, I have implemented a networking stack. I have filled in the large building block that was missing in the system. And is it a cautionary tale? I believe it is. I mean, do you remember Minix 3? That used to be very famous, that had this, they might end up being complete in the sense that that I have described, and not complete in the sense an average user would use an operating system or would like an operating system to work. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but you either have to expect that it's going to happen and embrace it. This is what we do in HANOS, at least at the moment. Or if you don't like this outcome, you probably need to have a plan, an explicit, well-thought plan to avoid it. And at the end of the day, everything boils down to money and time. So you probably just need some reasonable long-term source of revenue, whether it's a paying customer or some paying use case or a charity, I don't know what it is, but it needs to be there to cover the costs of finishing those tasks that are no longer fun, like implementing a new subsystem. So that's all what I wanted to say about this completeness issue. So what about HANOS and our vision into the next 20 years? I mean, so far we are embracing the Serene Valley. There are still contributions. There are still, it's still a valuable tool for me and for many other people to test new stuff, to debug other systems, for example. And there is some value in the code base itself. So we can stay in that Serene Valley for some time. And we are still on the lookout for some new challenges. There are people who still have this, I don't know if I should say a pipe dream or a wet dream or whatever kind of dream, that there will be a company around HANOS and that will push it into new areas. But somebody needs to step up. The asynchronicity will be more important than ever, at least according to the development of the hardware, so I believe there is something to build on. There are even many features that have not been integrated yet into the mainline branch of HANOS that could be useful for somebody. So just to point to two examples, there is task checkpointing and migration implemented, there is MMU less support implemented, just not in the main branch. So if anybody has an idea how to use that, just let me know. So to sum up, HANOS is still alive and well. HANOS is complete, but in the sense that I have described. There are still many ways how to contribute to it, and it makes sense in some ways because we do things differently. And HANOS is not going to move away, at least until there is still somebody contributing to it. And there is nothing wrong with being in that Serene Valley. All I'm trying to say is that many existing projects, very ambitious projects, might eventually end up in this Serene Valley as well, unless they do something against it, if they don't want to be there. So have a plan. And that's it for me. Thank you. And are there any questions?
Does it have a reverse?
No. So I should repeat the question. The question was, does it have a reverse? No, but it has Tetris. Any other questions? Yes, I believe you were first.
Regarding MMUS operation, do you mean running on something like microcontroller?
So the question is about the MMUS stuff. Yes, it essentially means that it can run. I mean, I'm not quite sure if every microcontroller would be a good fit, because there are other requirements for the, payload size and whatever, but generally yes, it could run on a CPU that does not have an MMU, does not have any paging and stuff like that. I can give you the details later. Thanks. There was still, yeah.
Is there anywhere I can get VMware Palomar?
Sorry, can you?
VMware
running on top of HelenOS.
Yeah.
Not yet. I mean, so the question is how to get a VMware running on HelenOS. Not at the moment. There is no virtualization support at this moment. The answer is complicated.
All right.
Thank you.